Okay.
Women's Studies History article? That's anything left behind? What is that in here?
No.
What is it? And any evaluation forms for Sarah and Allison?
Like what?
Not as smart as them.
Well, we're in the corner there. There's less of them.
Yeah, boo.
Okay.
There are less of us.
Okay.
Really
okay.
Oh, the first question.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you been generally happy with your experience in women's and gender studies? Why or why not?
Are you asking me?
Whoever.
I think yes.
Around in a circle.
Yeah.
Sure. Whoever. Okay. Well, I'm sure. Yeah.
You figured it out.
Okay. Well, I'm happy with studying. I think compared to other disciplines, the experiences have been vastly different in terms of how women's studies have changed and impacted on their personal life. Like, you find an interconnection, like, you can apply the things you learn in the classroom to your everyday life, to your personal life, to your identity, as opposed to other classes. It might all be just theoretical or whatever, but it doesn't necessarily change you in the way that you want to.
Well, I've also been really happy with it, and I found, like, I'm a double major, so my other major is English, and I found, like, really sort of big differences between the two departments, because the English department is so large, and women's studies is quite small, so I really get a sense of community here, and I kind of, like, at the beginning of the semester, I remember, like, I'm taking a lot of English classes this semester. I'm only taking two women's studies, and I walked into my first women's studies class after taking a whole three straight English ones, and it was, like, such a relief that I felt, like, walking in, because, I don't know, there was something about the space and the inclusiveness of it that just made me feel so much more comfortable. I don't know, it was really different, and again, the people are different, I found, or at least more willing to talk about, like, issues that I'm more interested in.
I just want to interrupt. I think we were also doing the interview with somebody, and she mentioned that the space with the women's studies classroom is really different. And in terms of if there is, it's usually an all women. The classroom is usually all women. And if there is, for example, a male presence, sometimes you feel like you're inhibited in a way that you might be. That you might not be willing to speak and be as comfortable as you might be if it was all women.
I feel about men in a women's studies class.
I think it's actually a really positive thing, but I just find it interesting that I would inhibit myself, or I would just not be so freely to talk about my feelings.
See, that's interesting because in one of my classes there's one boy, and he's sort of become like the token boy, and I feel kind of our professor sort of like always looks to him like, what's your opinion? Like, you're not saying anything, and I feel like for him maybe like he does get that sense of like, oh, like I'm supposed to speak, like
in your
it's a women's studies class, yeah.
Because yeah, it's fine, like if it was like a male. You know, when you feel more
yeah, like that's what I'm thinking. Like, it's sort of, I get that impression, the class dynamic of that one.
Did you guys have a lot of men in your women's studies 100 class?
Yeah,
before, I did. More than.
Yeah.
About four or five.
Yeah.
We have. That was 4 years ago.
Oh,
yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Creepy Chris.
Oh, yeah, Creepy Chris.
We had way more. And I was in doctor, but I only studied 100.
But I really feel like they didn't take it seriously.
No, I agree. They were just taking it for like an easy credit.
And I feel like there's a lot of, and I don't mean to exclude them based on their biology or their gender, but I feel like they're not, they're there for the wrong reasons in a way. No,
the typical.
I don't want to generalize.
Yeah,
right, of course, but.
I don't like the way Women's Studies 100 is taught. Maybe it was just my professor, or... But for me, it was like a man-hating course for Women's Studies 100. And I didn't take anything for in second year. It was a sixth-grade course, Women's Studies 100, so that was enough for me for a while. And then in third year, I just randomly took Becky's class, and I really liked it. And then I changed my major, so...
Well, I think it depends, because my Women's Studies 100, my professor...
at the beginning specifically said, she's like, this is not a man-hating course. I would not tolerate it. We had three guys in our class, one of whom is a woman studies minor. But, like, after that, like, the prof was just terrible. Like, she was just a bad teacher, which was really frustrating for a lot of us, and she didn't get hired back. I'm guessing her evaluations were just terrible. It was her first year teaching, Melanie Fogel. She came from the University of Calgary. It was her first year. Last year was her first year, and she didn't get hired back.
Really?
Yeah. Because nobody in the class liked her. We didn't learn anything. I think she scared a lot of people off of women's studies, too.
I think it's difficult, really too, because I've had a few questionable professors, and I think it's because it's hard to attract. There's not a lot of women's studies professors, probably.
Yeah.
And when it's bad, it's so bad. Like, my 224 class was a man-hating class. And it was like the first women's studies class I'd ever taken.
Which one was
when did you take it?
It's a lit class.
Was that, who did you have for that one?
Dorothy.
I had that as well. I had that in a summer class.
Exactly.
I didn't find it was
Oh, I did. She was like really, well, at least the term that I had her, she was really, it was my first women's studies class ever. It was my summer after first year. I just found, maybe not so much man, I thought she was pretty man-hating, but she was, like, very radical, definitely, and very, like, oppressive in her.
She's the kind of person, if you don't agree with her, then she'll, you know, she'll cut you down.
Yeah, for sure. And I definitely felt.
I'll call you out on it.
That's like 328, too.
Which is fine.
I just definitely felt like the mark. Yeah.
Oh, man. Sorry. Totally, like, with 328, I totally don't agree. But it's like, if you don't agree with her, then it's...
On grading.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
With our paper.
That's why I cried in her office. Like, because she told me that. I wrote my paper about Jewish subjectivity, and she told me it was wrong. And I was like, I'm sorry, but you're not Jewish, and I am.
Wow.
And I'm writing about my own experience, and you're telling me that it's wrong. And she was like, well, it is wrong. And I'm like, well, you can't say that. Really.
Oh, yeah.
It's really frustrating. Like, some people got really bad marks on their autobiography.
How do you get bad marks on your autobiography?
I was shocked.
On my autobiography, I was like,
how could you mark you on your personal experience?
When she said
that's what I don't understand.
What about, like, the analysis of it, or was it the actual experience itself?
Like, some of it was, like, the comments, a lot of them, I did well on mine, so I can't complain, but I have a few people, I know a few people who didn't do well at all, and I'm just like, some of the comments, like, and on our midterms and stuff, just some of the comments she wrote, instead of saying, we wrote there, as opposed to saying his or her, and she crossed that out, wrote his or her. And, like, just little things like that, and it's just like, well, there are reasons that we wrote it, and even if we explain the reasons, she's just like, no, you're wrong.
Yeah.
It just shoots you down.
Even
it's
kind of class, like, when you comment or something, she would be like, no!
Yeah.
You would be like,
but I think a lot of us wrote that in our comments last year, so maybe
she hasn't changed.
Oh, no?
No.
And, like, Beth's experience, I don't know. Like, when did you have
she's really like, ah, because everyone's looking at me, no, you're wrong.
No, no.
Like, I think a lot of it, some people love her, some people don't.
It's just, like, 327, a lot of, like, our class, you know,
exactly,
wrote a whole bunch of stuff for Beth, but Beth actually changed the way she approached everything, you know?
Yeah.
So,
because Beth
did?
Yeah.
Changed a lot. Because even in my 401 and 440 with Beth, she was incredible.
Great. Yeah. She
was great. And right now, too,
So this is a good tie-in to the second question, then, maybe.
Good job facilitating.
What do you think of the first one, right? Effective teaching structures?
Oh, okay.
Strategies and techniques for you, so kind of ties into, like, the professor thing.
Should we go the other way?
Were you guys all in the same cohort, like, last year or something like that?
Mm-hmm. I guess we've been in almost all the same classes.
Yeah, right?
With Sarah and Allison and Jen and, like, almost.
And me.
We
were together at 328. We were together at
45 and
40. Well, that was the only class I didn't take, so you're all over the place.
Yeah,
I was in UBC like 3 years ago doing women's studies, and so my experience from then and then to now has changed so dramatically. Yeah. Like, before, and I wrote this all in my autobiography, but it was very much like ivory tower, very academic, like whatever. And now that I've actually come back, it's a lot more applied experience and more encouraging towards activism and stuff. So just like the shift over 5 years has really made, like, it's the actual teaching and the actual curriculum has changed so much. So it's weird, but now, like, within this focus group, everyone's kind of got the same experience and that kind of thing, so I'm just like,
But no, I don't think we have necessarily the same specific experiences, but definitely, I actually didn't find Beth all, was all that bad. I actually really liked her in 327.
Well, okay.
Because I did well on it.
I think
only because of that. But I mean, she was nice.
Well, I think she was a nice person.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I did well too.
But like. And that's what everybody said, they love her, it's just the structure of her class was really bad.
And it's so much better now.
But yeah, and it worked out that she changed it.
To go with your question.
It does go.
How did she find that her instruction was ineffective then?
Well, some people pointed out that she showed this slide of an Aboriginal man. It was meant to not be used as a display of a body, but it was just meant to show. And some people had a problem with it. And I just find, you know, like, there are certain times when you, yes, you have a problem with certain things, but it's like, if you have a problem with everything, it's becoming like a personal attack on her. And she, because I interviewed Beth, and she said, like, a lot of the comments made were on her, not on her teaching.
Personally.
It was
yeah.
personal.
Her personally.
It was on her personal.
Which is so sad because she is such
She is an amazing.
I think in terms of structure, one of the problems was, and she even said this, she had never taught anything but a 3-hour class before. Because she comes from U of T.
York.
And she only taught 3 hours in her classes. For her to teach in an hour and a half, she felt really constricted. She was late a lot, too.
She was
late, like, almost every class, which when it's only an hour and a half really makes a big difference.
Wasn't it even an hour and a half? I thought it was an hour three times a week.
Oh, it was an hour. It was an hour 3 times a week. Yeah. So being 10 minutes late and then 10 minutes of, like, fumbling with the AV.
It just,
like,
did not work. Like, that was just a bad semester.
But then in my 3-hour classes with her, she was phenomenal. So
327, no, it was an hour and a half. It was Tuesday.
It was right after Becky's class.
It was Tuesday and Thursday.
Becky always Tuesday.
Really?
Yeah.
Becky doesn't come to campus like on Monday, Wednesday,
sure.
Friday.
Yes, for sure.
I can go back.
Okay. You can do it right now.
No, no, but whose structure do you like the best? I personally don't really like the way Becky structures.
I like Becky. But
just because you know what to do from the very first day of the term.
I know. You guys had this discussion. I want to know what you think about Becky's class.
Which one? Like, because with the switch, like, I took Becky's 326 class when I was first at UBC, and then now I'm taking her class again because I dropped out of it halfway through, in part because of the teaching style, and in part because I found it so just, like, highfalutin academic, like, very much, it was so alienating to be in that class. It was actually a really, really big class. I think they've actually cut the class size down as well. When I took it, there was about 50 people.
Wow.
And it was her standing at the front of the class being like, women's studies is the best, and, you know, these are all the things that are wrong with the world, and kind of like academia has all the solutions to everything, but then not actually sort of offering any. And it was very, very much like a state of, like, very much like professor privilege over in the class, and she definitely, like, she talked down to a lot of students. And it was very unfortunate. She would kind of, like, build people up and then break them down again. And just, like, it was weird. And I just really hated the whole experience because it felt like there was absolutely nothing sort of real and practical happening there. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel in a lot of my other classes now, when it's just, like, that are not in women's studies. Like, I thought in women's studies has changed so much.
So when you took your class again this time, did you feel like it had changed?
It's absolutely changed.
Yeah.
And just, like, it's a lot more of, like, looking at actual, like, real-life things that are happening, giving a lot more, like, actual involvement with the community. Like, she's had people come in and actually show, like, hey, here are some of the things that are happening, you know, in the world right now. People that are actually doing the work that we're talking about, which is so much better. And that's, like, I remember being at Langara College and doing a lot of that kind of stuff, and they were just, like, I was like, I wish UBC could be like this.
Oh, that's a really valuable
totally.
Experience. Yeah. I think we should definitely.
I find that with the rest of my classes. Like, I find that in women's studies, probably just because I've just come into it, you know, that my women's studies classes are so based on practice, or they're trying to be based on practice, because there's this, like, really big gap between theory and praxis in women's studies, or at least there has been, and now I find it starting. Exactly. Now when I take other classes, I'm just like, give me something to do. This is so academic, and so, not to say that women's studies isn't academic, because it's definitely academic, but at least now there's, like, I think, especially with Sanera's practicum, there's, like, so many people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do that.
They really want you to get involved in the community.
That's really good.
And that's a new thing. I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think it just started.
I think they try to shut it down every year, too, because it's, like, cap fail.
Yeah.
So, it's hard time passing.
She's doing the practicum.
And Kelly are both doing their practicum.
I don't know, she's just...
The
Which one is it? And, oh, and Gallardo. Yes, we know. Yeah.
That's awkward. The most awkward thing ever.
Breathiana?
Yeah.
Who is that? Why did I know these people?
I don't
know. Let's move on. We don't want this discussion being tape recorded, so.
That's true.
Let's just keep going.
Okay. So what about Wang has inspired you, for example, forming your perspectives and concerns about the world outside? I feel like, you know, we kind of talked about it, I think.
Yeah. More of a just like... the actual like getting political, like, and getting politically involved. The book that I'm doing the review on right now is very much against that, and they're saying like, you know, women's studies is indoctrinating people into a feminist ideology. You know, which is unfortunate. It's like, and I can see their point that this whole the whole program is very politically motivated, and so they say that has no place in academia, whereas women's studies argues that it's all through academia, it's just not spoken about, I guess. So I find that interesting, how women's studies is so overtly political. Every once in a while, like, I have a problem with that when it gets to a point where it's like, you only have to think this way, and if you don't, like, there's sort of an underlying assumption that you will become a feminist by the end of this entire
Or that you already are when you go in.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like the fact that I am, it really poses no huge problem to me, so I'm quite happy to exist in this, you know what I mean? So it's hard to kind of negotiate that, but I have been, like, I found that I have a lot more tools and words and, like, ability to express myself politically and whatnot.
I was just going to say, like, I never really thought about being a feminist. Like, I guess I knew that I was growing up. I never just really thought about it. And then when I went into women's studies, like, I would tell people, yeah, I'm in women's studies, and I'd be like, oh, I'm so not surprised. Like, I totally am not surprised. And I would think, like, why are you not surprised? Because I'm kind of surprised that I'm in it. And then I realized, like, okay, so these people always, I guess, saw me as a feminist, and it just gave me, like, the words and tools to express myself through this field, you know? And it gave me, like, the ability to do real introspection and think, like, okay, what do I think? Why do I think that? What has made me to think that? Whereas, like, I don't think there's many, I know if I was teaching biology, I would never think about my own, I would never have any kind of personal development, probably.
Yeah, and isn't, like, again, thinking that, oh, you know, university political, like, it's all navel-gazing, introspection, whatever, but it's like, I'm just, like, you know, banding about what I've heard, but the fact that these are your formative years of your life, right, being in college, so it's like, may as well, you're in a program that is actually helping you become an informed person in the world and able to affect your environment and that kind of thing.
I totally agree with you. Like, what else are you learning in college? Like, with an MBA? Like, I don't really think anyone else is learning anything more important than
we are. I say BA stands for Bureaucracy Administration, and that's why I've learned how to cut through red tape pretty easily. Or at least how to not get frustrated with bureaucracy.
One thing only I think has not, you hear about every type of culture's life and how they deal with things in the real world, and I mean, what do you, other than history, really, and I guess political science, and that's pretty much it. Like, where else are you going to learn? Like, English, like, really, what do we really learn with an English major, you know? Like, or even
stuff. But, like, I think even with, like, history and political science, like, you've not lived.
Indeed.
I think that even with history and political science, those two topics are very institutionalized. And it's, like, a lot of formalized information that you're receiving. Like, I was having this discussion with somebody after class yesterday, and I was just saying that, you know, reading a history of an entire group in a book is completely different to talking to someone about their own lived experience, which is what we do in women's studies. I think it's given us those tools to connect personally with somebody, and I think, for me at least, it's given me, I guess, it's made me a more passionate, I think it's made me a more stronger person, women's studies has. Just because it's given me those tools to defend myself, to defend my beliefs, but not to do it in one of those, like, I mean, you'll always get the people being like, so you, like, burn your bra and hate men, and, you know, I'm always going to come up across that, but, I mean, it's given me the tool to just, like, defend why I'm doing it. And why I'm studying this.
It also gets you used to having to do it.
Exactly. It really does. And I think it also just goes to show who supports you and who doesn't. And
totally.
Who supports your beliefs. That's like,
That's so true.
It's amazing the reactions that I get from people. Like from people I don't expect.
Mm-hmm.
Like I get the good reactions from people I expect really not to get them from, and then it's the exact opposite as well. So
I find that like the biggest reaction that I get, especially from like my friends and family, like for example my dad. Like I would definitely consider my dad a feminist for sure. My mom has always worked like for a long time. My dad was a stay-at-home dad, and my mom worked, and like it was total this like role reversal, whatever. But sometimes we'll be talking about things, and this is obviously to do with the fact that he's 55 years old and like can't teach an old dog new tricks to a certain extent, whatever. And I'll say something, and he'll be like, "Not everything is about women's studies."
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? And I'm just like, "But it is." Like, really?
It is.
It's like not everything is about women's studies, but women's studies is about everything.
Exactly.
It's so true.
And I love that, like, women's studies has given me this new lens to look at the world through. Like, I find that when I watch things on TV or whatever, I have, like, this whole new set of ability to really interpret it through, as opposed to just being, like, a, what's the word?
Passive.
A passive consumer.
Sponging.
Yeah, exactly.
Can I ask you guys an honest question? It's like, you know, one of the stereotypes about, like, feminists is, like, humorless feminists, but it's like, I have noticed certain things that I thought were funny before. It's like, I don't think that they're funny because they're racist or they're sexist or whatever. And it's like, so now I actually do kind of feel like I'm a bit of a humorless feminist in that way. But it's like, I still have a good sense of humor about things that are like actually funny. I don't know. It's just hard because it's like,
I know it's sensitive, but you're always going to think of it. But maybe we're more immune to it now, like you said, you know?
Yeah.
We've learned about it more. But
so it's like, I'm more.
But it doesn't mean we're humorless.
Exactly.
You know, like, I feel where it's coming from.
Like, if you know that someone is like, she's a feminist, and you know that what that person is saying is not actually what they're believing in, then you would probably laugh, and you know, pass by. But like, if you know, you don't know that person, you might think it's the actual idea that they believe, then like, you would get offended.
Or something. Like, I just feel that it's like, you know, certain friends would tell certain jokes, and I used to laugh at them, and now I don't anymore, because now I'm just like,
well, I have,
like, but then I'll ask them, you know, like, why are you telling that joke? Like, what is that all about kind of thing? Like, oh, you just feel
like anything. I think we're more human there, you know, we sensitive to the fact that
words
can
exactly
people,
but I think sometimes we need, like, there's a fine line between
we make fun of it too. I mean, we always talk about this.
We
burn it,
we are
talking
and that's really important, and sometimes we have to suspend our own
you also have to think about, like, where is the source coming from, right? Like, there's a big difference, like, me making a joke about an ethnicity that is not my own than me making a joke about, I don't know, Judaism or whatever, even though maybe theoretically that's not okay, but at the same time it's like you are operating within a specific space that it's okay to do that with.
So just becoming more aware of that kind of stuff is, I can, there was like an actual noticeable like switch in my brain that went off, I know, so like, kind of cool.
Well, it's really bad, like, I mean, we were sitting in the Women's Study Center watching the Russell Peters skit from like Comedy Central, and we were just laughing our asses off, and then suddenly we're like, we really shouldn't be laughing at this, but at the same time, it's like hilarious, and he makes fun of everyone, and he makes it
like, do you find Margaret Cho funny? Because she's just doing it.
I find Margaret Cho. I love Margaret Cho.
I think she's really funny too.
I think she really just depends on the person.
She was?
Yeah, she's coming.
Hey,
what time is she gonna be?
I don't know. Where is it?
It's at the Queenie Theater.
Okay.
Yeah, she's gonna be so funny.
Yeah.
Crap, is it in the evening?
Yeah, 8:00.
Oh.
On Friday.
It's the same time.
Oh. Oh, well, moving on.
Great.
Next question.
Is it what parts of the?
How have identity politics around race, past sexuality, gender affected you within WIGS?
Yeah.
Politics around race,
sorry,
and identity politics.
I think it's made me. I identify as a South Asian woman.
More strongly, I mean?
More strongly.
Like, what do you mean to me? Like, why would you?
I don't identify as Canadian, ever. Even though I've lived here a majority of my life, I was born in Sri Lanka. I went to school there, I speak the language, and I've always identified as solely Sri Lankan. And I, if anybody asks, I say I live in Canada. And so I think, well, I know, I totally understand, like, other people see it a completely different way, but that's just mostly for me, and I think, women's studies, I guess, maybe more in tune with, like, racial issues and issues of identity, and like, how do I really identify myself? Like, it's only recently that I really started thinking about how I identify myself.
So. See, it's different. Like, I'm different with different crowds of people. If I'm with my Taiwanese friends, I strongly identify as Chinese. I don't identify as Canadian, but when it's with other people, like I was with my girlfriend at Fountainhead on Davie, and this white man comes up to her and is like, kamasta and konnichiwa. So he thought I was Japanese, and he thinks my girlfriend is Filipino. So he got her ethnicity, or her race right, but he didn't get my race right. And he asked me, like, I'm like, I'm not Japanese. And he said, well, what are you then? I'm like, well, I'm Canadian. I didn't want to reveal myself in that way. I didn't want to say I'm Taiwanese, because I don't want him to, you know what I mean? Like,
because then he can prove, like,
exactly. Then he can, like, frame and this.
Well, I think based on the color of your skin, people always do that. Oh, where are you from? If you say Canada, they wouldn't know where you're really from.
Exactly.
Yeah, you always get that. Yeah, that pisses me off, too, but.
I mean, in your case, if you say it,
it pisses me off because I know, like, other friends have tend to deal with it, but I automatically answer that question as Sri Lankan.
Because if you're saying where you're from, it's where you're born, right? Technically, like, that's what it is when you say where you're from. I mean, that's how I would take it as.
Well, and also, like, I mean, at UBC, lots of people, they're just like, where are you from? And half the time, I'm just like, Surrey.
Yeah,
you know, because I live on campus, but I don't actually. But if
you say Surrey, you want them to stay away from you. Is that why you say Surrey?
Surrey girl is saying this to me.
I live out here now. I move.
But like, it's a very complicated. Like, that's the thing. Like, with women's studies, I've learned that I have a very complicated identity.
Yeah.
That it's not just one thing.
It's not just one thing. It's like a series of fluidity. It's important. Would take up a page if I tried to tell you who I was. So.
Which is why I don't understand how Lisa can, like, give you a bad grade. it's so complex. How does anyone judge and interpret and give you a grade?
Especially in that class. Like, just the way what the class is.
It's
like,
subjectivity. Subjectivity.
Like, and you're not being subjective.
Yeah.
I mean, the other problem, I think, with 328 is the focus on the one culture. I think it needs to be expanded, and I wrote that in my autobiography too. Because in all the other classes that we've had, like, we talk about every culture, and we don't, you know.
Yeah, this is the only Chicana culture, that's true.
Yeah.
I've never heard anyone about Chicana culture in any of my other classes, so I was kind of excited about that. Like, I think it really depends on the professor. Like, each professor brings their own flavor into the class, like, and their own sort of ideas, and it's like, okay, well, you know, I have a specialization in, like, say if I were going to teach a class, my sort of specialization is like the medical system and that kind of thing. So that would, it would have sort of like a medical lens on a lot of different things. So,
but see, being
that she's familiar with this kind of literature, so perhaps she wants to expose it.
I
kind of feel like if that's the case, that like Yvonne Brown teaches her specialized course on women in Africa. We had a special topics course on gender and Islam.
Yeah,
so it's like a separate thing. Like, she can teach the Chicana literature as a
she's
course, like,
teaching
specifically for that.
She's teaching 224.
224, yeah.
Exactly. But, like, and that's probably
a series of subjectivity course. Like, it's a very, it's first of all, it's a required course, and second of all, it's something that it can touch on so many different things. I feel like I would connect more personally if it had something maybe of any kind of Asian literature.
Yeah, for sure. Wanted to have more.
And maybe that's why some of us are struggling with it too, you know? Because either we don't understand the culture, or we don't get where she's coming from.
Or, like, you know what I mean? Like,
I see totally your point that it's theories of subjectivity, so you touch on a whole
range of subjectivity. Yeah.
That's something I guess we can put in our
evaluation.
What parts of curriculum have been most beneficial, which were least? What curricular gaps do you see, and how could these be filled?
Sorry, what was the first part?
What parts of curriculum have been most beneficial and least useful?
I like the theory. I think the theory has been beneficial, and also how to work that theory into practice. I wish there was a little bit more of that. Like, I found that I've missed out on actually being taught how to write a paper and how to formulate that within a women's studies sort of environment. So I think for, like, a suggestion for another class would be like writing within a feminist discourse or something like that. It's like a second year class or something. Like some kind of
to prepare for later. Like, to have as like part of our English requirement or something.
Yeah.
really interesting.
She asked her for a 325 or something.
Like a writing, like a feminist writing course?
Yeah. Cool. Because you really could take, like, here's a practical way on like how to take theory and then put it into writing. But you have to learn that in like second year kind of thing. Because I found there's like nothing like that.
Even. There aren't a lot of second year women's studies in general.
But you know how you were saying about class and how like the language, the way it's all structured, is like even to learn how to write a proper paper for that level.
Becky, that really teaches you.
No, and Becky teaches you how to do that. But maybe rather than waste time doing it there, we can have like a course that prepares you for that type thing, you know?
Or just not even the first one. That's a very different thing. I found that really helpful actually, because now I know that if I were to get into like writing grants or that kind of thing, you can do it. Skills, which I'm super stoked about. But I took this really cool sociology of pop culture course at Langara that actually really taught us about, they gave us little assignments. Like, okay, read this and now connect this to this and apply this like literature to this, like, and short answer questions and stuff. And that would be really cool in like a women's studies format to like, okay, read the short piece of literature, like a theoretical text, and then here's like a real life example, like out in the world, and can you apply this theory to this life experience and put them together, like weave them like that? I think that would be so cool to learn, because that's what we are doing in our academic papers, but we're not really taught how. We just like get the comments back.
Yeah, I agree.
And so that's a bit of a handicap when you're like suddenly thrown into like, okay, now third year, like quick write the paper. And
like, you know how a lot of things that we write, like let's say I want to write something on like development, and I put in courses like I don't believe this is a developed country, and I don't write like, because I don't believe in that, but if I present that to a woman studies class, they won't know what I'm talking about. But like let's say one of my classes, which is like student-driven class between English and women's studies class, and like the supervisor is an English faculty member. He's at home with everything that I have in there.
It's a far class, right?
It is.
You think you marked that?
I didn't.
So wait, it's upstairs right now. It's across a point, like it's English and women's studies?
Yeah, it is. And the supervisor is an English faculty member. And like when he read my piece, he's like, what's that quote unquote? Because he doesn't understand what I mean.
God.
Or like right.
So who does a faculty member mark your guys' papers? Okay.
So like we in a way I'm screwed because like I cannot write how is an English speaker.
Well, I think like sort of a very specific way that women's studies do.
Yeah. Have you guys noticed that women's studies, we make up a lot of words too?
We do.
That, I mean, that's general, like an English prof, I guess, might pick out, or some other prof might pick out, and be like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Like, problematize is not a word.
I'm like,
if you're in women's studies, you would understand. So, like, okay, I think maybe that's a suggestion that we can say, if we're having, like, a women's studies student-directed seminar, we need to have somebody with a women's studies background as the, like, supervising.
Because
if they don't, I mean, there is a certain language that we use in women's studies, and if the supervising professor doesn't understand that language, we're going to all be completely screwed over.
But yeah, I give that example to class, like, you know how we talk about transnational feminism, and then, like, I type that, and he's like, okay, define it. Tell me what it is. But, like, as a woman studies 400 level, like, course, why would I tell you what transnational feminism is?
It's like a women's studies prof supervising biology.
Exactly.
Like, nobody's going to understand. You're going to need definitions for everything.
It's very important for, like, because it's a women's studies course, not even English course.
So I feel like I'm dumbing down my writing when I write for that class because I'm including issues like.
I had to spend time defining what transnational feminism is.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
I have to do like a whole page on transnational feminism and then apply that.
Have a glossary of terms at the back or something. Like, I don't know, but.
Level.
That's,
I bet you have to like
performativity. Everything. Oh my God. Everything.
So I wonder how that affects us then if we're, like, do you, as a women's studies major, like, if you have your certain language and your certain way that you write, how does that affect you if you wanted to do other things, or do you want to do other things within? It might be a limitation, like, if you, you know, if you're going into a sociology class or something, you start writing about this, and then suddenly do you feel like you're set back because you don't have, like, the skills to succeed in the rest of academia, but is the rest of academia just, you know, stupid and needs to change? Or like, how does that work? I find that such a hard...
I think it makes me really sarcastic towards everything else also. Like, I'm taking a law class this year, the women in law class, which I really like, and I want to go into law. But sometimes I'll read the readings and, like, we'll have guest lawyers come in and speak about the law. And I just sit there, and I'm like, this is bullshit. And I'm like, this is such bullshit. And people talk about, like, specific, in, like, okay, for example, like, the judiciary, they're trying to expand the judiciary so that more judges are from diverse backgrounds. Which, okay, in theory is a good thing, but at the same time, it just reiterates that, like, only women can understand women issues, which gives the men the ability to be like, well, I'm not a woman, so I don't have to deal with this case, or, like, only black people can deal with black people issues. Like, it's bullshit. And it just makes me, like, it makes me really uninterested in other areas, to a certain extent, because I see the faults in them, as opposed to being able to see their positives.
And then when you're in the class, and you bring up any issue about, like, well, actually, that, you know, maybe is a little bit, you know, sexist or this or whatever, then you feel like the token, you feel like a shit disturber in all your other classes, which is a shitty feeling. You just be like,
I think I find psychology really worse.
Oh my god,
I'm doing psychology.
Why are you in
psychology?
The reason I started out was because I thought I would be able to actually, because I'm into, like, you know, people, like, you know, talking to people, that kind of thing, but then I ended up, like, I found out what was citizen psychology, because in psychology, like, all I was taught was how to do the research and how to do the experiment, and it was, like, totally, like, you know, just constructing the environment, like, making everything artificial. It wasn't even, like, the reality of the, like, society, right? And, like, I'm sitting in the class, or I'm reading the book, and I have to underline every single sentence, because I have problems with all of them.
Everything.
Or in the class, I can't just raise my hand, like, in the class of 200 people, and then, like, tell prof that, oh, what she said is not right, because it's not, it doesn't apply to my culture. How can I say that in the class of 200 people, you know? How am I going to explain it?
See, I had like a feminist occult psychologist as our prof, Tanis McBeth, and like, the class is just still so horrible, and it's just the curriculum, it's not necessarily a professor even, it's just the curriculum that is there, it's standard, it's set in stone.
Yeah, if you don't follow the guidelines, then you're not psychology.
So it was really tough.
That's like the anthropology class that I took, that was just like...
Well, I mean, but it's actually really frustrating when you go into, because you expect all your women's studies profs to be feminist, and then some of the things that I've had problems with some of my profs, with them saying, like, I love it!
I can't stop smiling when you say that. Because, like,
we have the same class. She knows exactly who I'm talking about all the time.
Yeah.
Like, just some of the things that she said, like, she actually made this comment. We were talking about how, in order for us to enact change, we need to, like, teach the men about women's studies. We need to, like, work together to do it. And this prof was just like, no. We need to, like, work against them. We're like, what?
Which prof are you talking about?
Oh, no.
I don't like that. Who?
I don't know. It was when, Denise and Susie were doing their presentation.
Oh, my God.
And how we were just, like, having this conversation, because, like, I totally agree. I think we need to work together to enact change. I don't think that, like, anything separate. Yeah, I don't think that's going to work at all. Like, but she actually just flat out said no. And I was just like, all of us were like, what?
But it just, because it goes to show that there's so many sides and so many complicated sides and perspectives in feminism that it's not just like one single.
Oh no.
That we're not all just like this. We're not all go to each other and be hand in hand.
Feminism itself is a subjective term. Very subjective term.
So I think that's.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I know where she's coming from. Like, I mean, she worked in Dubai. And, like, everyone around her were men, right? So she was, like, she had to do, like, she had to go and, like, you know, fight for it. But it was very attitude. And she got that working there, like, her experience in that environment. And now she's applied that attitude to class.
Yeah.
In
instead of recognizing why she thinks that, she's just kind of blindly thrown that
I think it's really difficult when profs are trying to push their opinions on you. Like, it's fine, we all express our own opinions and we have our own opinions, but, like, even in general, like, anyone pushing opinions on you is so frustrating to me. I mean, it's a lot of the reason why I stopped going to church. I couldn't deal with that anymore. And so, like, I don't know. I find it frustrating. Like, I understand, yeah, she's got valid reasons for thinking that, but just to, like, flat out disagree. Like, I just find it really some issues, like, some thoughts I find really problematic. Yeah, it's really problematic, especially in a women's environment, just to, like, flat out, I don't know. I've just had a few issues with CrossFit. So.
Problems.
Yeah. Oh, I love our women's studies vocabulary.
Don't worry.
It'd be fun if someone actually made up a glossary.
Like the women's studies dictionary.
We should have a women's studies dictionary.
I wonder if there is something like that.
There should be.
It's like the national or
like urban dictionary. We'll have a women's studies dictionary.
You might find it like my paper.
Oh, we should.
It's all red lines. Everything's like red lines.
Yeah, when I write a paper.
Yeah. I just put header and normative into one of mine and it's just like underline. It's like, no, go away, it's right.
I guess we kind of talked about it, but what are the things you like best about being a learner?
I feel that I do get to learn. I feel like I get to actively participate in my learning as opposed to being just sort of sitting and being talked at. Which I still really enjoy lectures. Like, I really like in best class where she'll lecture for half the class and then we'll do a project. Or like, and then we'll talk and then we'll do a project. Like, and then when the lecture is open to, like, question and answers and, like, that kind of stuff, even throughout their presentation. But, like, you know, because that's a really cool skill to be able to, like, develop a lecture and deliver a lecture is, like, super inspiring. So she just, like, inspired the hell out of me. Very much. So, like, I think that she's
brilliant.
She's really, but then I also really like the fact that there are like some seminar ones that we have that are more like interactive. I really do like this class because there is a lot of just like, okay, tell me what you think, how do you feel about this, like, and I really do like that approach as well. And then Becky has like structure, because then there's also facilitators. And like, Becky doesn't really like deliver lectures, but she gives like interesting like constructive presentations. So it's like a whole variety of styles, which is cool. And so it's not just sort of the standard. Someone sits up there, we all sit up talking
at you,
and you take notes. Like, I don't really even take notes in my women's studies classes. I just absorb, and like you get the discussion, and that I find I learn so much better.
And like to go along with that, I know it's like in practice, like all of my women's studies classes, like, I always rearrange the class so that we're like sitting and facing like, each other in our way. Like, I always stress that. Like, I want like. It sort of goes along with, you know, the power dynamic thing that we talk a lot about in women's studies.
It's funny because that's almost started to become a cliche. Like, oh, let's all sit in a circle. But I don't like it.
I think it's really important that we have that level of comfort, though. Like, just, I will go just talk to any of you about anything. Like, I feel comfortable with people in my women's studies classes where I've taken a lot of other stuff, but I guess I can use poli-sci. I have this huge class of poli-sci. Don't have that connection. That's one thing I really like, that we have small classes, small class sizes. I think it's so important because we get to know each other, we get to know our profs, and we just get into that comfort zone. And when you do, you're so comfortable talking about anything, and like even if you have like diverse opinions or opposing opinions, you're comfortable expressing them to each other, and
you can express them in relation to your own personal experience.
Exactly, afraid to do it. Yeah.
And do you find that like you don't really notice how comfortable you are until someone you don't know suddenly like someone like your friend in class, and then you're suddenly like, oh, that's not you. And like you couldn't really do that. Like it seems to like break the sort of comfort zone or like protective sort of spirit, I guess, which, like, again, is limiting because we want lots of people to
I think, is that also not what the stereotype is? That people perceive us as, like, oh, you're just a
tight-knit.
That's what happens when you're in that class for so long, and because it is somewhat of a confessional space. And that's, like, another author that I read has problems with that, where it's, like, it becomes this confessional. It's not really about learning. It's more about getting everyone to just, like,
talk about themselves.
Yeah, developing their personal feelings, but just, like, getting them to, like, divulge personal information. And I actually felt like that in my last Becky's class, the 325. when we did the interview, and you had to sit with somebody else and do that kind of interview, and then we didn't know what she was going to do with the tapes. And I had this theory that it's like, is she going to collect them and like keep them as like?
Oh no, I think you could have said. I think she said you could have like.
Oh, I know. After the class, it was. But as I was like beforehand, I was kind of like, what is the purpose of this? Is it like collecting information on us? And I find whenever I go to see her, she makes me like really uncomfortable. Not sorry. She makes me really comfortable. She like disarms me completely. So I like go to class, and suddenly it's like. You know, Becky Ross will just be like, ah, oh, relax in her class, and then you just want to, like, talk and just spill everything to her. So it's such a confessional kind of atmosphere with her. It's an interesting dynamic that I wouldn't get with her with her. Like, she disarms me, like, completely, and I love it.
I just can't lie to her.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, yeah. It's like talking to my, I know this sounds really bad, but it's like talking to my mother. It's like, I'm just, I can't lie to her, and it's just like, even after she talks to me, I just have this feeling of, I want to do so well, because I just don't want to disappoint you.
Her in any way.
But I felt like that with most of my women's studies professors, the fact that like you actually do get to know them on a personal level, it makes you try harder because you actually know them.
It makes you care.
It makes you care about your output for sure. For sure. So I like that a lot. Puts a little extra pressure, but I mean, you're kind of, it's not what you're supposed to do in school though, is try really hard. Whether or not that happens, I guess it's another story.
What obstacles, if any, did you have to overcome in the women's and gender studies? Were there any obstacles? Other than, I guess, like our
personal biases?
Yeah, teachers and whatnot.
I don't know if I've really had any major problems. I mean, okay, yeah. there were like a couple of incidents in classes which we've had to
have to deal with, but
yeah, it had nothing to do with women's studies, though. But yeah, no, I don't. Can't really think of any.
What do you think of the relationship between theory and practice? Praxis being promoted at WIGS, how is this being negotiated?
I think we kind of covered
that.
A lot, that we do sort of, we try at least to weave as much as we can, and I think the professors are making more of an effort to bring in people from the community to actually do, like, you know, as sort of like, oh, guest speakers, you know, maybe they would take away from class time or something like that, but I think they're so valuable, because it actually is like, here, meet the people that are doing the work that we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
It's so important, and then you actually do get to meet them, too, and like, perhaps go and like, do some networking and for a future career. Or anything like that, right?
So, yeah, even like with practicing class, it's very, like, you would think about feminism and like women's movement, but you never question like these terms in society right now.
Yeah,
it's really impactful because like you're getting to know who one of the organizations, like how they work in society and whether they are part of the movement or not. How, what is the movement? Like, these are the questions you'll be asking in practice class. And, like, I just love that course because I personally got to volunteer in a place that gave me so much information, so much insight into, like, women's, you know, society, women's, like, situations.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next question?
It is 4:40.
So last question, what are your own personal hang-ups, triumphs, and tribulations with regards to the program? For example, do you have any personal experiences which now are more conflicted because of you being a woman's studies student?
For sure.
Yeah.
White privilege. The fact that I'm in like this seemingly like really normative heterosexual relationship and I'm engaged at 22 years old and it's like theoretically everything I stand against. And yet,
there's so much more than that. So much more.
It's hard though too because you start to learn about how you represent yourself and how you're being perceived by others even if your intention is not that. Like, I had very much the same thing. Like, I'm very like happy queer girl but I was dating this guy for 5 years and so then everyone that saw me, it was just like, oh, whatever, she's straight, and like, but I would sort of go out of my way and just be like, no, like, I'd wear rainbow all the time, and so, like, really try and get that out there, but it's so hard to sort of negotiate that as well, and like, I don't know, you sort of,
I think totally.
I wasn't really aware of even that before, though, that people perceiving me in a certain way, and now it's just like, okay, well, now I really want to, like, it is almost a political thing to just be like, okay, you know what, I am really wanting to proclaim my identity, like, loud and clear, like, all over the place, and that's kind of a change, for sure.
I have the issue of, like, I mean, a lot of the reason why I took women's studies and I started getting really passionate about it was just I wanted to go home to Sri Lanka and just, like, sort of apply what I learned, I guess, and I wanted to, like, start working with women's organizations and all this other stuff. And then, like, the more I think about it, I also have to think about the fact that I'm in this position that I am a privileged Western-educated woman going back into my country and trying to, like, be the savior, where, like, which I criticize, but at the same time, I'm thinking I want to do that.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Yeah, I have the same issue.
Yeah.
To me, about going back at the same time, like, I'm thinking of, like, I never live in Iran. How am I going to connect people? How am I going to, like, I've learned all these 3 years over here, everything that I learned are from this part of the world, but how am I going to yeah, apply that to my country. How am I going to work? It's really hard.
I agree. It's like, how do you justify going back, like, criticizing that position and then going back and trying to be in that position?
Like, it's interesting, because, like, a lot of times I find myself actually defending a lot of things that are happening in my country, but then I'm against them personally. But, like, when I'm over here, I'm defending them.
Because you don't want them to be attacked just because of what they are.
Yeah,
I'm doing the same thing.
Like, when I came here, I was talking to a class 3 years ago about, like, when I came here, I was all against Islam. I was like, I hated this religion. But then, like, right now, I'm defending it, and I'm like, you know, in a way, everyone thinks that I'm Muslim, and I'm actually, like, you know, practicing it, but I don't, but I'm always defending it,
I think for me, too, because I'm Jewish, I have this, like, over-urge that I always defend Islam, because I'm so scared of being taken as, like, anti-Arab or anti-Islamic, I'm not at all, obviously, I'm, like, the whatever, but it's, like, this weird, like, it's almost like this white privilege thing where I'm, like, guilty for so many people that are wrongly interpreted, so I'm always, like, defending things that I don't even necessarily agree with, just so that I can...
Yeah, I have the same issue. I actually wrote, like, last year, I wrote an entire paper defending Islam, because I did a close reading of the Quran, and how it's not completely, like, against women and everything, and I wrote this entire paper on it, and I was just like, and, like, I told people about this, and they were just like, how did you actually write a paper on that? Like, they didn't even think it was possible to, like, I was just like, then just jump into your little defense, and it's,
Thanks.
Well, it's such an interesting thing, especially like feminism and religion. Such a complicated. I mean, for me, like that's why I have a lot of issues as far as that's concerned, because I was raised in a very conservative Christian environment. My parents are Christians and they're very devout. And I mean, they gave my sister and me the decision if we wanted to just keep going to church. And you know, they're like, it's your religion, it's your relationship with God or whatever. And I really respected that, but then, like, I have that conflict because, yes, I do believe in God, yes, I pray and everything, but there are so many issues that I have with it, like, religion as an institution, like, it's just, and because women's studies just brings that out in me, just, like, this whole, like, even vows, like, wedding vows, traditional Christian wedding vows, my sister and I have all just adamantly said we'll never say the line to, like, we'll obey, that'll never, ever be in my vows. Yeah, there is a line.
What is it?
To obey. You'll obey your husband. I don't even know what the exact thing is, but it's in the vows. Traditional vows. And so it's like, it's very frustrating. And like, I mean, I had my pastor, I came this close to walking out of the church because he made some reference to Catholicism being like a cult. And I was just like, how can you even, it's a branch of Christianity. Like, it's just, yeah, anyway, they're just, religion and feminism, it's a very hard place to be.
And this is actually what, it's very hard to kind of like work within both, but then I think about myself and how am I going to, like what I want to do in the future, and this is what I have to do. This is what I have to do. I have to work within that religion, which I don't know anything about. I mean, compared to foreign practices. But at the same time, like I want to work with it so I can get somewhere. in that culture, which I belong to, and then, but I want to know more. That's why, like, every time I see a course that's offered in, like, religion, if I'm a woman, I want to take it because this is what, this is how I'm gonna, what I'm going to use later on in my future.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything else that I'm doing.
I think it's really difficult, though, because, I mean, I took the class that I wrote that paper for. It was Images of Eve. And it
you
was
took
it,
that class?
Yeah.
When? Last
year. And it was...
I couldn't get into it. It's always full.
Yeah, I did think it was like a lot.
Is that an art history one or
something? It's a religious studies course.
Okay.
And it was Images of Eve, and it looked at Eve in Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. And it was just the most interesting class, and like the different views that the religions have on women because of this one single event and how they interpret it differently. And like, it was really interesting because we found that Islam was more supportive of women than the other two were, and it was just amazing, like mind-blowing class. Because
the opposite of what you hear,
which is exactly the opposite of what you hear. And it just made me think so much about religion and what I learn and what is preached, and it's,
I guess, should we start wrapping it up?
I guess so. I mean, it's just almost an hour.
From this discussion, I find, like, what I learn in religion is a lot from my class.
It's true.
It's true. No, it's definitely,
you know, even maybe even, like, something more so than the professor, just, like, the discussion that we have, which is why I don't talk a lot in a lot of classes, because, like, I love to just sit and absorb and listen to everyone else's experience.
I'm exactly the same way. Like, if you guys have had multiple classes with me, you'll notice I don't really talk a lot unless we're in, like, a small group like this. It's just, I don't know, I guess I have that comfort level, and I feel like everybody's just got these amazing opinions, and everyone in women's studies is so incredibly insightful and intelligent that you just absorb and you learn so much just from talking to people. Like, I have, like, my class can be an hour and I'll say nothing, but I'll have, like, after class standing outside talking to someone for another hour about the same subject, and it's just, I don't know, so much of what we learn from each other, not necessarily from our professors, who are supposedly, like, the experts on...
No, we're the experts.
Well, like, I mean, I'm talking about, like, general, you know, university setting. It's, like, professors up there, and then we're, like...
I think that's one thing I like the most, though, because we all come from such different, like, backgrounds, and yet, you know, we're, like, united by women's studies, kind of, I guess, and... But yeah, we get to see different opinions, which you don't really get in other departments or other classes because you don't talk about opinions.
Yeah, you don't get to talk to your classmates. You don't get to talk to, like, someone who's next to you. What about their opinion about, like, what you've been learning, you know? Like, I personally, like, you know, I always spend much of my time, all my time talking to Salima. About issues all the time. Because I talk to her more than I talk to her more than I talk to my boyfriend. And he is constantly complaining because I'm on the phone talking about issues on and on. Like, and it's very interesting because, like, we learn things, like, but we apply to the whole thing.
I find that, I think that's really interesting, though, that we love that aspect, whereas my sister, she's a poli-sci major, and she could not deal with it. She couldn't, like, I think that's part of the reason that she dropped Farah's class, was all of it, she, like, went in, and she's just like, it was all about people's feelings. And she's like, she just really couldn't deal with that aspect, because she's very used to, like, the political science, where it's like, you analyze everything.
But it teaches us how to formulate our own opinions, right, which is so important, and, like, you know, we're getting bombarded by all the media and all these other things flying around the world, and, like, we're actually learning how to construct our own opinions and back them up. And so the fact that we actually have a place to voice them to our classmates is so important.
It's interesting about the backing up, because I can't talk, like, in outside the classroom, outside the academic setting. If I'm with my friends or people who aren't in the women's program per se, I always find I have to cite theoretical just to give something solid, as if I need that support. But I can't just say, because they're going to be like, oh, that's just because you're a feminist, or that's just because I can't, like, criticize a movie, because they'll be like, oh, well, come on, just watch the movie. You know, it's like, it's really uncomfortable. It's hard.
I had a friend do that to me once, too, and I was kind of annoyed. Like, I was actually, like, she showed me a movie, and then I was kind of like, oh, you know, I don't really like it. She's like, oh, you and your women's studies. I was like, well, actually, no, the reason that I didn't like it is because, you know, oh, I didn't like that person's acting style. It has nothing to do with you automatically, because I was going to create some kind of, like, gender disparity or something. I was like, oh, man, come on.
Who says feminists don't have a sense of humor? We watched But I'm a Cheerleader. So we're done.
Yay.
So what is that, 59 minutes? Good. Yeah, like an hour.